Good morning.
It's indeed a privilege to be here to see you. I've looked forward to this meeting and prayed about it and thought about it. I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Enjoyed the singing, enjoyed the opportunity, and encouraged to see all of you. If you have your scriptures, turn them to the Gospel according to John in the 11th chapter. We know very well that that's been preached a lot. We know that's dealing with Lazarus. We know the great story of Lazarus. You know, he was the one that was dead. And his body already stinketh.
Yeah.
And Jesus was summoned by Mary and Martha. And Jesus is there on the scene.
Right.
And we know the great miracles of Lazarus. And the power of God as he spoke. And Lazarus come forth bound in grave clothes. And then he told the men to unbind him and let him free. So many examples there in John chapter 11, children of God. It just can't be preached out.
Right. Good.
But as I think about John chapter 11, there's another character there that's looked over and that's very little told about. I started thinking about this Monday. Brother Gary, I couldn't write a sermon if I wanted to.
No.
But it's been on my mind all week, so I'm afraid not to preach about her. And that's Mary. There was a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha.
Yeah.
It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. It's a word there, children of God. That's a pronoun. I looked it up. It's that. It distinguishes a specific person or thing or event. Now this is very important to me, children of God, and I hope the Lord will help me to realize that this Mary and Martha, there's very little told about this sister. But the scriptures here are written for our learning, and there's not a word here that doesn't mean something that has a benefit for us. Why would the Lord, through the Apostle John, say that Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that distinguishes her. Why is she so special?
Right.
You know, in the book of Daniel, about the 5th and 6th chapter, when the decree went out to Daniel that he is not to bow down to any other god than the God of the king of Abraham. I mean, the God of Nebuchadnezzar or Darius or Bel or whatever the name is. You bow down to this earthly king. Every time he walks, every time you hear about him, every time the bell rings, every time the trumpet sounds, you bow down to him.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're going to be cast into the den of lions. Very significant. You know, we went to Asheville Zoo one time. I remember little Timothy. Where's the lions, Daddy? See, the word that here is very significant.
Yeah.
It's setting this sister apart. Why is what I'm asking.
Sure.
It says that they cast Daniel into a den of lions. That means the lions was at home. Showing once again, these scriptures are perfect.
Amen.
And there's not a word out of place. So when it says that Mary, you need to look at it hard.
Amen.
You need to look at it real hard. I understand what she did, and I understand the significance of it. Well, you know, as I thought about this, that's what they used on Daniel. Oh, king, you know, we've said you've ordered this.
Right.
You've ordered this and it's to be done. And everybody is falling in line except for that Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, what made him significant? Because he served the God of heaven.
Amen.
He's like Nehemiah. Nehemiah needed a great blessing from God to go and rebuild the gates and the temple there, children of God, after the destruction. And it said that before he petitioned the king, he prayed to the God of heaven. Mm-hmm. That's Amen. Significant.
Absolutely.
That's significant. So we see here Daniel was one that pondered things in his heart.
Yeah.
You know what, children of God? That's where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives. I've heard foolish people say the Holy Spirit really didn't come until Jesus was resurrected. Give me a break. The Holy Spirit was in Daniel. That's the reason he pondered in his heart.
Amen.
That's the reason he prayed to God.
Amen.
Listen, children of God. But they came and said, listen, O King. Everybody's doing exactly, but there's one. And they called him that Daniel. The Old Baptist Church to me for 40 years has been that church.
Amen.
A particular church.
Amen.
A specific people. Not just any old religious gathering, but they've been specific.
Right.
That church. All those folks over there, listen. They are not going to have it. They're not going to have nothing that the Scriptures won't allow. They just won't do it. In Acts chapter 9, it says, I think it says, Acts 8, 7, 8, or 9, I always get it mixed up, children of God. It said the apostle Saul was breathing and threatening out slaughtered. And it's if you find any of this way, another good word.
Right.
Paul is saying, listen, I'm not looking for them religious people. We've got a bunch of them already. I'm coming to get that particular people. And if you find any of this way, that's who I'm going to bind up. That's who we're going to put in prison. That's who I'm looking for. A group of people, a particular people, a specific group. We slaughtered them. We fed them to the animals. We burned them at the stake. The more we distress them, the stronger they grow.
Right.
They are specific people. And Mary is not just called Mary. Parentheses, it was that Mary.
Yes.
All very important. Said the same thing about Daniel. O King Darius, that Daniel. What Daniel? You remember that Daniel. The one that interprets dream. That Daniel keeps on praying 3 times a day. I don't care what we tell him. He's a specific child of God. That Daniel. And it says it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We find children of God also spoken of, the same Mary, I think, in Luke chapter 10.
Yeah.
Listen, children of God, I'm not going to argue how hot the furnace was that the Hebrew children was thrown into. Foolishness. But I believe this is the same Mary in Luke chapter 10. It's a Mary in Matthew 26, different accounts. But I think this is the same Mary to me. So what made her particular? Keep in mind, children of God, that Lazarus here, the great chapter of the a man arisen from the dead. The Lord spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And a miracle of God displayed before humankind. But parentheses is made around this sister.
Amen.
It says that Mary.
Yeah.
You know what? When I see your faces, it's y'all are that people. When I think about the churches in Northern Virginia, I've met a lot of people. It's always a certain group, Gary. It's always them people. A Pacific people. They give when they don't have. Go when they don't feel like going. Come and are nice when they feel bad themselves. This Mary is very particular and very important to me that I can learn from. In Luke chapter 10, we have another account.
Yeah.
Now it came to pass, as they went and entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house.
Yeah.
And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Yeah.
That's the Mary. That's the Mary, children of God. Listen.
Amen.
We're going to find very quickly here that Martha was doing a wonderful thing. She was caring for the house. She was fixing the meal, no doubt. She was fixing the house for the guests. She was doing some wonderful things. But Mary, that Mary was doing something different. She was not only listening to Jesus, but she was listening to Him preach. When He wasn't preaching, there's not a word that He spoke that wasn't the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
Children of God, in my 40 years in the church, so many times I've heard the gospel, but it wasn't at Jesus' feet. I was filled up with myself. I was coming about with much other things. And my prayer this day, children of God, if I say not another word and drop dead right now, it's been profitable to me to hear the singing Amen. And to see y'all smiling Amen. Faces.
That's true.
But that Mary, she found a sweet spot.
Yes, she did.
Listen. She wasn't just any Mary. Mm-mm. You know, we know very little about this woman. You know, we know very little about many people. You know, how many times are people spoken of in the Scriptures, like the little lad in John chapter 6, that fed the multitude out of his little a little poke there, his little bag there. Very little is known about that little lad. But I'm telling you, it wasn't put there to make up a warm, fuzzy story. This Mary is significant right here.
Amen.
And Jesus will tell us that there's something very needful for us. And Mary's chosen that part.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what? In Luke chapter 15, I believe it is, we find the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son said, Father, give me all that's due me.
Yeah.
I want it now.
Yeah,
he was of age, so the father gave it to him. But you know what your prodigal son forgot? With freedom also comes responsibilities.
There you go.
Also comes decisions. We think when we get old and leave our mother and father, I can do it on my own. You have no idea what your mother and father's been doing for you all of your life. So when we get out on our own comes decisions that we must make.
Amen.
I tell you, children of God, Stephen said a whole lot about Moses. And you know, Moses was a great man of God, the deliverer of the children of Israel in this time world. But I'll tell you what, he made some good decisions, the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, he found a spot, he felt something in his life that man couldn't give him. I'm tired of all the riches of Egypt, I bet you is what he said. I don't want you to wait on, I've said this before, I don't want you to wait on for, don't turn my bed down no more. I'm tired of this water being just the perfect temperature. Don't bring me nothing else to eat. I'm tired of all of this goodness in Egypt. No, I want to go be a slave. I don't think that's it. Listen, children of God, the Lord had delivered him in his heart and it chose him. And after that, he made some good decisions. He said he chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God.
Amen.
To endure the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
The reproaches of Christ greater than all the world could give.
Amen.
He found a sweet spot, children of God, after the Spirit had delivered him, after the Spirit had worked in his life. And there's a spot, children of God, that never leaves us. Oh, Mary had found it early. She had found it early. Here she should have been there caring for the guests. She should have been helping Martha, doing what needed to be done. But no, you know what? She just wanted to hear Jesus. The church before us, children of God, our forefathers, all they wanted to do was hear preaching about Jesus. They wanted to hear the gospel. The world didn't cumber them as much as it does us today, children of God. And we've got more than they've ever had.
That's true.
That Mary had found a wonderful spot with Jesus. Listen, there's so much could be said about this, but I want to keep the point of why was she significant?
Amen.
Why was she significant? Moses, of all the things that could have been said about Moses, Paul in Hebrews 11, all the great faithful things that he did, but he wants us to remember that Moses found a place when the Spirit of God dwelt with him. Listen, children of God. And he was never the same. And he left all of the earthly goods that was his. You know what? I'll bet you in war that if you were taken captive and the enemy overrun your country and the king says, just like he did the three Hebrew children, I want you, you, and you to serve in my house. I bet that'd be a place of good, wouldn't it? I bet the ones that lost the battle, the one that was in captivity, they had a very hard existence. Listen, children of God, but the king of this earth chose them. Nebuchadnezzar says, give me three. Listen, give me three that's able to talk the Chaldean language, that's got all this knowledge about science and wisdom, without a spot, without a blemish. That would be a very wonderful place to be, children of God, in captivity. But those Hebrew children say, look, oh king, we're just not going to do it. Are you crazy? What do you mean you're not going to do it? Don't you understand that you're going to be cast into the furnace?
Yeah.
Oh, but they found a place with God that man
Amen.
Couldn't give them.
Amen.
Oh, king, listen. And why do they feel like this? Because the Lord had visited their heart. What kind of spirit do you think that is? Well, I think it's the Holy Spirit, don't you?
Absolutely.
I think the Holy Spirit was in Genesis chapter 3. He said, walk with him in the cool of the day. What was that? I think the Holy Spirit was in Genesis chapter 11 when he said, let us go down and see about this Tower of Babel. I think the Holy Spirit was with Joshua and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and caused them to yearn for things other than this world.
Amen.
And Mary had found that spot. And it was that Mary.
Amen.
It was no doubt thousands of Marys. But we not lose sight, children of God, that the Scripture says with parentheses in John chapter 11, it was that Mary. Why would she do this? Bow down to our Lord. And it was a part in listen, children of God, in John chapter 13, the Lord told Peter, if thou wash, Peter said, you're not washing my feet. The master don't wash the servant's feet. You're not washing my feet, Peter said. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. What part was he talking about? Heaven? We know better than that. A sweet communion with God is what he's talking about. Listen, if you don't find that spot, and humility is what he's teaching them, if you don't find that, you cannot commune, cannot be my disciple.
Right.
He said, if you love your mother and father more than me, you cannot be my disciple.
Right.
He didn't say you weren't a child of God.
Right.
He didn't say you weren't going to heaven one day.
Right.
But that sweet communion is what Mary found
Amen.
Right here.
She
and
sure
she
did.
Found it at the feet of Jesus, hearing the gospel.
Amen.
Titus said, in hope of eternal life and the God that cannot lie, we promised before the world began, but it's now made manifest by the preaching. Listen, children of God, a sweet spot to hear the preaching is at the feet of Jesus. We come into the house of prayer asking the Lord to bless us. Oh, bless our pastor, bless the folks, bless the sick, bless the elderly. But then I'm thinking, oh, Lord, give me something to take home.
Amen.
Lord, give me something that I can take home. Give me a sweet place because I may need it next week. I don't know what I will be faced with. I don't know what trials or troubles that may overcome us. But that's what Mary found. And the Lord said it was a needful spot.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a thing to do. We sometimes think the gospel, well, you know, I take it or leave it. Well, that's been my attitude too. But the gospel, if it's preached and you hear it, it's a miracle of God.
It is.
The same
Absolutely.
Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that allows man to preach and allows you to hear. And listen, Mary had found the sweet spot. Apostle Paul tells us that Moses said, no, he chose rather to suffer with the afflictions with the people of God.
Right.
And you know, that's hard for me to believe, but that's what the Scripture says,
exactly,
and this
right.
man did it.
Yeah.
Than to endure the sins of Egypt
right.
and all the glory of Egypt and Pharaoh's favor for a season.
There you go.
You know what? When people out in this world think, you know, we've got it all figured out. We're high-minded and we don't really need Jesus. We don't need the church. We don't really need anything. They're in terrible shape.
Amen.
Children of God, because in that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, it says this. That the son, when he come to himself,
right.
he remembered that sweet spot.
Amen.
Well, what made that home a home? It was the Holy Spirit and the prodigal son's father.
Amen.
Would give the prodigal son's father enough common sense to not chase his foolish son and partake of the foolish son's sin. It was the Holy Spirit guiding him. Well, we don't know that. Yes, you do. The prodigal son, his home was intact because he had a robe and a fatted calf. He didn't waste his life away chasing his son in foolishness and sinfulness. No, no. He kept his home in order. So this son, when he remembered this sweet spot that the Lord has provided for his family, he'd have somewhere to go. Listen, children of God. And he said, I'll go home to my father. Now, there's no doubt he wasn't thinking about Jesus at that point. The prodigal son wasn't thinking, oh, Jesus, save me. And listen, I'm going home to my father. That's where he felt the love of his father. And where does love come from?
Right.
It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from Jesus. And it's made manifest when we hear preaching. Listen, children of God. So the son went home, and we see there in that great event, the father said, get the fatted calf and the ring and put the robe on him, because he's come home. He was lost and now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. He didn't forget. There's a place at my father. What am I doing out here? There's a place at my father's house. A sweet place I can go back to. Think about these young parents. Before we try to raise our kids with giving them everything they want and most things they don't, we're going to give it to you anyway. I've done it. You need to keep your house in order. We need to try to do what's right like our forefathers did. All of us don't know everything. And we are sinful creatures. But if the Lord has given us a home where this love resides, we are to fight for it and to keep it the best that we can. And that was the scene there with the prodigal son. I'm going home to my father. What do you think he felt when he saw his daddy? You ever been away from home? You ever been in a foreign country? Come home. You know the joy that swells up? Just thinking about home? Well, see, the prodigal son had felt love. That he hadn't got it all figured out. But he felt a place of peace.
Yeah.
And when he come home, his father was waiting.
Yeah.
And if he come home and knocked on the door, the neighbor could say, listen, that family's been gone. They took their house. They're gone. And the father could have been foolish. He chased his foolish child. And his house wouldn't be in order. Listen, children of God. The prodigal son found a sweet spot. And that's what Mary found. Feet of Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine in that day this scene? Can you imagine this scene of this sister walking in? Or the scene of her bowing down and washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair? Sitting there, Jesus talking. The house full of whatever whatever was prepared for the meal or whatever. We don't know that. But there's one thing of all the stuff there that's needed. And Jesus says, that's not going to be taken from her.
Exactly.
It's a sweet spot of hearing the gospel at the feet of Jesus. You know, I've heard plenty of preachers, but sometimes I've heard them at the feet of Jesus. I've heard them preach when they were at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
I've tried to preach myself. You know what? I've got this figured out. I quit trying.
Yeah.
I'll be telling you right now. I quit trying to learn how to preach. Because I want to preach at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to come and be, Lord, whatever you got for me, please allow me so the church will be edified and built up. And please allow me to sit down when you're finished with this foolish sinner. That's at the feet of Jesus. That's what preaching is.
Amen.
And I've heard preachers that have been like that. Preachers that have struggled for years. And they've always preached at the feet of Jesus. They've always, like Brother Gary said, bragged about Jesus. Not about their self, not about their money, not about their time. Oh, I've heard plenty of that too. But if the preaching, the sweetest spot to me is when the Lord allows me to see me what I am.
Amen.
And to realize that if I'm to say anything to beneficial to the church, it's through His blessings.
Amen.
And I have to be totally subdued to Him. Listen, children of God. Ezekiel said that when these eagles, when they come, they let down their wings. Listen, children of God. Listen, that's a type and shadow of the preacher of taking off his earthly garments to me. And if he's to preach at all, he's to preach at the feet of Jesus, or he's just an eloquent speaker at best. But you know what? You may leave here with a good meal, as Martha did. You may leave here with a good time of a social hour. But unless the Lord blesses you to be at His feet to hear His gospel, that don't always happen.
Right.
But I'm telling you, children of God, we are all to be the best that we can at the feet of Jesus. And that's what this dear sister was.
Yeah, that's good.
That Mary. You know what? I was in the hospital last week. One or two days. I can't keep up with it. I'm not that important, guy. We're just short of preachers. You know what I mean? When you walk up, people's of another persuasion, they look at you like, he's that one. And they won't say anything about the Bible. No, no, no. Don't get him started. Because I'm telling you, them old Baptist preachers, a lot of them have been studying this word. When a lot of worldly preachers have been studying the social business hour about the religious community. So I'm proud to be among the preachers that are called them old Baptist preachers. That's who has shown me and taught me and saved my family. Well, Jesus saved you. Absolutely.
Amen.
But he didn't send angels. He sent preaching to direct me. He sent preaching to guide me. He sent preaching not to born me of the Spirit. No, no, no.
No.
But preaching is where I felt the sweet spot for me.
Amen.
Oh, I had wonderful. I told Timothy when I saw this word Monday morning, I said, Timothy, I think I'm going to jump out the window. Well, what is it, Daddy? I said, that. He said, what? I said, that. He said, what? I said, T-H-A-T, that. Like, what are you talking about? What's such a big deal about that word?
Yeah.
It's a word that it's a pronoun that sets aside a specific personal thing.
Yeah.
So then it reads, that Mary.
Yeah.
This Mary. What makes her so special? She was a humble sister. And of all the things that she could be doing, she was at the feet of our Lord, washing his feet with their tears and drying with their hair. And the Lord preached to her. We don't know what he said. The Lord never wasted a word. I've told you.
No, sir.
The scriptures are perfect.
Amen.
I heard a brother preach the other week about, and it was a very good point, that it's not a lion's den. I'm going to repeat this. Because the lions might not be home.
Right.
They throwed him to a den of lions.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. In verse 39 in Luke chapter 10. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at feet and heard his word. But Martha was coming about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Be it her therefore that she help me.
Right.
Now that's an important thing. That is an important thing. If you have house guests, if you have people that you have invited or you want to do the best that you could do for them, then Mary had found a spot that she didn't want to leave. And the Lord will tell us this is a needful spot out of his own mouth. But Martha was coming about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Be it here therefore that she help me.
Right.
And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha. When Jesus listened, when your mama said, Jamie, you better take notice.
Yeah.
When Jesus repeats the name, it don't mean that Martha didn't hear him. He wants to say, Martha, he's to me, Brother Gary, that's telling Martha, Martha, I love you.
Yeah, Martha.
Martha, I love you, Martha. That's
right.
What it, Martha, Martha. Martha, oh, look at what you, listen.
Right.
Jesus was a man with human needs just like we are. So he said, Martha, Martha. Mm. Oh, what a wonderful scene there.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm look at all you. Look, oh, Martha, Martha.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's thinking, all the stuff that you've done and the preparation. Oh, Martha, Martha, what a wonderful thing. But there's something even more important than that. Martha, Martha. that were careful and troubled about many things.
Yeah.
We can be caught up in this world, or we can have trials and troubles. We can do this, we can do that. But there's one thing that's needful.
Right.
And that's to hear the gospel preached. Above all things on this earth.
Amen.
That's what the Lord will tell us.
Amen.
Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Oh, what a wonderful scene. I hate to even leave that place. I hate to leave that. Wonderful. I think about the times I've been to the old Baptist houses and his sisters. I told one of the deacons, I go up north, and said, it's a scary place. He said, what do you mean it's scary? I said, they treat you like royalty. I said, they treat you like that you're really special. And I said, you have to really be careful, because you'll go to your head and to your mind, and you know that you have to remember that all of this comes from the feet of Jesus, and not to be caught up and cumbered about the things of this world and think, you know what, they really do like me, and I hope that you do love me, and I love you. But there's a needful place that we never should forget, and that's at the feet of Jesus. So Martha, Martha, wonderful scene here. But then he says in verse 42, but one thing is needful. What one thing is needful? What is she doing? She's sitting and she's hearing the Lord talk.
Amen.
He's preaching.
Amen.
He never done nothing but preached.
That's right.
Everything that he said was the gospel.
Amen.
And Jesus says, this is needful. Not something we do. So many times in my life I've done it when I didn't have nothing else to do. But Jesus says we're wrong in this.
Right.
Jesus says this is needful.
Amen.
Mary hath chosen that good part.
Yeah.
You know what the Lord says? You've not chosen me. In John 15, I think, the vineyard, I'm the vine. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. We understand that. The Lord says, according to the Apostle Paul, according as he has chosen us in him and before the foundation of the world, we understand that the Lord chose us. We understand that he worked in our heart and we weren't looking for him. We understand all of this. But you know, there is some choosing that we can do.
Yes.
I had it in my power this morning. So did you. We could have chose to do a lot of good things that would have been good. We could have went to the nursing homes and done a lot of good things that someone would say, well, that's good. That's really good if you've done that. But Jesus says, this is really needful.
Amen.
This gospel is needful. And it's always, isn't it wonderful when we're able to hear, when we're able to sit at his feet. And leave the old meeting house and say, Lord, it's been good to have been in thy house. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? It's needful.
Amen.
It's not just a place thing to do. Oh, it's needful.
Amen.
Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It won't be taken away from me. The Lord will be here when I get here. Are you fooling yourself? Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Yes.
Well, when I leave here today, another appointment tomorrow, I'm telling you, I prepared all week. And when I get out of the stand Sunday, because I need a lot of help. I'm not like your pastor and some of them. I need a lot of help. So there's a preparation to be made to meet the God of heaven.
Amen.
And the Lord says Mary had chosen the good part. I think we have today. Moses chose. Now, certainly you don't choose eternal life.
No, sir.
Well, Joshua said, if it seemed evil for you unto this day to serve the God of heaven.
Amen.
He's talking to the children of Israel.
Yes, he is.
He's not talking about somebody that wants to be the children of Israel. He's talking to the children of Israel.
Exactly right.
You can choose. A child of God, after he's been born of the Spirit, he's got a whole lot of responsibility now.
Amen.
Because the Lord has made him free. Free? Oh, yes. He's got something in him now that gives him a hope to go on. He's got something dwelling in him now that gives him a reason to get up out of the bed in the morning. Along with that comes responsibilities.
Amen.
You know what? When I was in my early teenage years, and my mama would, I wanted to go ride with the boys in Danville. The only place we had was one street to ride on Saturday night, and I was, the boys was going to pick me up in an old Volkswagen. There was six of us in one Volkswagen. You know how that worked out. My mama would always tell me, "Jamie, if it just don't feel right, come on back home." In other words, the mother, Jesus says, "How many times will I take you under my wings as a hen does her chicks? But you would not."
Right.
So we sometimes think, you know, what's going to be is going to be, and we could just do like we will. No, no. We ought to make good decisions the best that we can. Amen. In the Lord bless the intent of our heart, because we're just sinners. Amen. Aren't you glad the scriptures don't say some of us like sheep have gone astray? No, it says all of us. We ought to be at the feet of Jesus and say, "Lord, help me leave here today. Lord, help me be kind at the dinner table and not say nothing unkind.
Amen.
Lord, help me leave Happy Creek in peace as I found it when I come here. Lord, help me tomorrow. Help me tonight when me and my wife is at home alone. Not to say, help me to stay at your feet with the humility that I must have, because without that I cannot set it. I cannot hear the gospel. I could be cumbered about a lot of things like Martha was. I could be doing a lot of good things. Well, Lord, don't take that sweet part away. Lord, don't leave me in a good way." Listen, children of God. Martha, Martha. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. I want to choose the good part. I've had people tell me I had this dream and I was supposed to be somewhere else on Sunday morning. I said, "Well, it wanted the Lord, I'll tell you that." People don't like that, Brother Gary. They don't like that. It's just the truth. Because Jesus tells me out of his own mouth, through that that Mary. That's what makes her significant. That she's, to me, she's at the feet of Jesus hearing the gospel. All of the world is going around her, but she's hearing the gospel at his feet.
Amen.
No, 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 we can. You know, we're going to heaven anyway, they say about us. Well, that's true. You're going to heaven in spite of yourself. Absolutely. Me too, I hope. But the Lord said, "Mary hath chosen." I don't have a college degree, but I do know this. If the word "chosen" is there, that means to me that she wouldn't have to do this. Oh, she found a sweet spot with Jesus. And it made her that Mary. Mm-hmm. That Daniel. They called him this Daniel.
Yeah.
That preacher. That church. How can we become and continue, children of God, to be the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I think the Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 6. "Stand therefore." I'm just about finished. I've enjoyed what time I've been before you. I appreciate your kind attention. Paul says, "Stand therefore." He's starting from her feet and going up. Very significant.
Amen.
"Stand therefore with your loins girded and your feet." I can't. Lord, have mercy.
That's all right.
How can we be that church? How can we be that? I'm not saying, "Look at me, look at me." I'm saying, be the person. You know what? That brother is always humble. We have spit in his face and he turned around. That's because he was at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Not literally, but he remembered that.
Amen.
Sweet spot.
Right.
How can we do that? Therefore, finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
As our loved ones go one by one and we lay them in the graveyard, we've got a God in heaven that we can be strong in him, in his power and his might.
Amen.
When the cancer comes upon us, Right. When our tests are ongoing, when we don't know what tomorrow holds, we serve a God of power and might. He's that God.
Amen.
Not the little G-O-Ds.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I guarantee you, Brother Jimmy, when y'all went out on a detailer, you wanted everything you could pack on you, didn't you? You wanted to be in the safest truck. You wanted everything that you had because you needed an armor. The Apostle Paul says, to be strong in the Lord, and this is how to do it. Put on the whole armor. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against things that seemingly men are telling us, if it's good, if it feels good, do it. And abhorring our children. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That tells me, Brother Gary, I need to get up. I've been on one of my pity parties before. I rode my bike 25 miles. I talk to the Lord and Him alone. Out in the cold, 20-degree weather. I get back home. Gay says, how you feel? I feel good. Well, you feel better. You talk to the Lord. I did. What did He say? Get up and get with it. That's what? I didn't want to hear that. Paul says, stand. He says, stand. Not sit, but stand. Stand, therefore. He's starting right here and go up. If we're not standing in the right place... If I was in the bar last night and come up here smiling at you this morning and you knew where I was standing in the wrong place and my credibility would be gone. Is that not true?
Amen.
So the helmet of salvation that I would try to preach wouldn't do it. I couldn't. Apostle Paul says, stand. Do all that you can do to stand. And all we've got things working against our children, our family, our churches that they slide in. We don't even know when it's coming. We need all the armor. Having your loins girded about with the truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, he's starting right here. Listen, he's starting right here. We've got a truth, children of God, that the Lord tells us on one occasion, I forget where it's at, that princes and kings desire to see what you see. We've got something here that we can hold on to. You know, if you was broke, it'd be hard for somebody. If somebody tell you, well, go ahead and pay your bills. What am I going to pay them with?
Exactly.
Well, that's what we act like sometimes. But Apostle Paul said, we've got an army. Put it all on. It's going to take all of it.
Right.
To be called that church. Well, what happened to this church? What happened to that church? That's the children of God. That Mary. The breastplate of righteousness. Me and Timothy was talking about this the other day. Found out that the breastplate and the shield. He says, above all, take and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Not only is the shield to protect you, you can push with it. Never thought about that. We've got a shield where we can push people away with the gospel. We can speak the words of Jesus when we've been at His feet. And it would singe the hearts of sinners when they try to subdue you with their words and with their deceit. That shield not only protects us from the darts, but we can push with that shield. You notice all of this is for front armor, not for rear.
Right.
We ought to be going forward.
Right.
And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Peace.
If my feet is shod, if it's shod, if I'm walking in the right place, I'm going to need this helmet. If my feet is not shod with the preparation of the gospel, no need for the breastplate or the helmet. Ain't going to do you no good. I'm telling you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That Mary. Which Mary? The one that was the friend of Jesus. The one that when she could be doing a whole lot of things, good things, Jesus said the thing she's doing is very needful. And that's not going to be taken from her.
Right.
Well, what makes her significant? What makes the scriptures point her out? But she had stopped at the feet of Jesus and he had allowed her to commune with him. That Mary, that church, how are we to push on? Preparation of the gospel, helmet of salvation, breastplate, all of it, that's what we'll need. Children of God, I love you, and I pray you forgive me of my weakness, and if I've misspoken, I hope you at least take this home with you, that these people of God become very significant when they're seen serving the God of heaven.
Amen.
Above all the riches of the world. And all can we learn from that from the pulpit. Of all the things of the world that could offer a man, a woman in church, to have our intent to stay at his feet with humility and treat others the same is a needful place. Because that's when I'm able, the Lord will allow me to hear the gospel.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as my
prayer. Amen. 500. Number 500. Stand it. It's convenient. God bless you, my brother. Love you. It's so good. We publish the open door of the church, whether it be with this church or any sister churches represented. If there be one or more who have a desire to unite, call your Lord in baptism. Let your feelings be made known if you sing this. The Lord has certainly blessed Brother James, I believe, to deliver from the scripture the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great, great Savior we have. And he's not just any Lord, is he? He's that Lord. He's our Lord, the Lord, the Lord. He's the way, the truth, the life. And the church that he has built, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, not just any church, his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to be able to be, as we have today, gathered among the people of God and hear the gospel, declared. And we have so much to be thankful for. And that's because our God is a great God. How great thou art. And we'll go ahead. And as we sing, there'll be one or more that have a desire to unite. You let your feelings be made known. Brother.
Oh, Lord my God, when I am lost, some wonder, consider all the worlds our hands have made. I see the stars. I hear
in just a minute. Thank you.